You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia tau te rangi marie, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai au e awhinei I a tātou, tihei mauri ora. This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
This week on The Green Desk, Jack had a chat with Barry Scott, a professor of molecular genetics at Massey University. They talked about a discussion paper just released by the Royal Society Te Aparangi. The independent not-for-profit body provides funding and policy advice for the sciences and the humanities. The group released this paper with the hopes of beginning a conversation about gene editing in New Zealand. To start off, Professor Scott gives us an overview of what exactly gene editing is.
So what happens in nature is everything is subject to light, sunlight, UV. Every organism out there is undergoing some very low rate of spontaneous change in its genome. Within a population, there's a lot of variation in terms of the changes at different genes. And so what plant and animal breeders are doing all the time is trying to select for the variants that they want, you know, a different apple colour or different height of a tree or whatever. What gene editing can do is, starting with plant, an animal, embryo, microorganism, is put in a machinery. It's got the complicated name of CRISPR-Cas. It breaks the DNA. It causes a break in the DNA, and that needs to be repaired. And if left to its own devices, the cell will repair that, but generally in an imperfect way. So you get a few small changes at that site as part of the repair process, and so that can basically knock out the function of a gene. So if there was a gene that determined seed colour or seed shape or something, you could put, if you knew the gene involved, you could put the editing machinery in, cut that gene and allow it to repair and potentially remove the function of that one gene. There is another version of that where you provide a template as part of the repair process and you can alter the gene or put in several genes. So there's quite a wide range of different changes you can make. But what's different about this new technology from the old is it's very, very precise in terms of where it occurs. And big difference to sort of natural plant breeding is breeders have to screen hundreds, thousands of sort of natural variants to find the one they want.
So instead of waiting for a natural random trait to come out, you select the traits you want and go from there?
Yeah, it's just taken off exponentially. So it's one of those sort of big transformational changes.
And so what actually got you personally involved in this? Because, you know, a lot of us kind of just fall into different industries, but how did you get involved in molecular genetics?
Oh, it goes way back to the 70s when I was working in the States, and this was kind of the period when being able to engineer DNA. Genentech, the company that developed insulin in bacteria, was founded then. It was a pretty exciting time. It's just kind of continued since then, and so a decision was made to have a look at gene editing, and I got the job of chairing a committee to put something together. And what we've chosen to do is a series of papers. This is our third one now, and so we have a great big long sort of scientific paper, and then that gets distilled into something a little bit more user-friendly for the public.
As a committee, you've put out this discussion paper for everyone to get involved. Do you have a personal view of where you'd like to see gene editing move, especially from a New Zealand context?
I seriously think if we don't embrace this, at least in some way, and obviously it has to be done and considered and that it's all safe, then I think we'll be seriously disadvantaged.
Where do you think the biggest kind of potential would be?
Well, I think it's seriously limited by our imagination. There's just lots of things you can do, and this whole field, if you look at the international science, it's absolutely taken off. There's mushrooms of all things that don't go brown now available in the US from a very, very simple edit. There's pine trees, pollen and is a big problem. Wilding pines is a big problem. These are not easy plants to work with, but that's one of the scenarios we've highlighted. It's not yet feasible, Some of these scenarios are kind of looking into the future a little bit, but we can see the potential for some clever people to come up with a way of doing this. If you have essentially sterile trees, then you remove the spreading problem. Yes, I think a lot of potential there. So that was one of the scenarios we painted, of course, in our 5 scenarios.
So on the show, we've talked quite a bit about the backlash against 1080 from these really kind of minority groups, but how do we move forward with science, with the public really behind it? Because it seems like with the misinformation out there, so how do we move forward without facing a backlash?
Well, that's a tough question, isn't it?
Sorry. Have you got the answers? What's the answer? Especially in this
mass media age of Facebook and everything else, you know, it's a big issue, as you know, in terms of alternative facts and this whole question around who to believe and what to believe. This is a key role for Royal Society Te Aperangi, is to provide expert advice, to get it out there, and to just make sure we provide good independent advice. It's very, very difficult to counteract false claims, exaggerated claims. Yeah, very, very challenging. That's really all I can say. the 1080 ones is in the real hard basket, because this is deviating somewhat from what we've done. But just personally, I'm a conservationist, and it's a real dilemma for us, because we've got a huge number of species on the brink, and we haven't got too many options available for us at the moment. So it's like everything, it's about choices. Are we going to do something to try and save the species, or are we just going to let it collapse and die and go? And we need more options.
I reckon if you can fix the Cody dieback problem with gene editing, I think everyone will just be behind you.
My goodness. Now, there's a very, very difficult one, and in fact, we've been talking about it today. I mean, that's an absolutely insidious disease. And, I really worry for the future of our kauri, because I've seen iconic trees in North America and Europe disappear with some of these horrible diseases. Mm. And, you know, once these things are loose, very, very hard to control, moves through the water, it's transmitted by animals. Oh, it's horrible. And, you know, to see these iconic trees of 2,000 years or more, and to see this creeping up on them, it's just horrible.
And just one final question for you. What do you think the biggest barriers are going forward with gene editing in New Zealand?
Oh, social acceptance, and I think this is very much why we're doing this, is to help inform the public, getting everyone on board. And it's not around the science, and it's very well known. You can give the people all the facts you want, may not change their views. So really got to look at some of having conversations and finding what people are comfortable with. It's very much a sort of social context conversation we've got to have, putting up the alternatives.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Ora.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.